Good morning. Welcome to Grace of Christ. Let's stand together for our call to worship. Dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Together, let us worship our God. Standing as you are able as we sing our hymn of praise.
Share a time of prayer together this morning. Our Father in heaven, we are just rejoicing and filled with thanksgiving this morning for the love you shower on us every day. We see your love for us in the beauty and bounty of this fall season, in the gorgeous sunrises and sunsets and the leaves, in the provision and kindnesses shown to us daily. We feel your love in the strength you give us to get through difficult times. We feel it in the comfort you bring in times of sorrow, and we feel your love by the friends and acquaintances you've put in our lives. We praise you for your presence with us, an ever-present friend who listens to every prayer we whisper. We worship you, Jesus, our Savior and leader of our lives. Jesus, we just told you in song that in the cross of Christ we glory. The cross, where Jesus took our sin, shed his blood so that our sins would be washed away and we would be forgiven and we would experience eternal life. Your word says that we all have sinned. So we come to the cross this morning, ready to confess our sins to you in this moment of silent confession. We thank you, Jesus, for the washing and cleansing that comes with the forgiveness of our sin, and that our sin is thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. We pray over Yakima today, and we thank you, Father, for all the generous, giving hearts across our valley who are blessing and helping others. We look to you today, asking for wisdom and guidance that comes from the Holy Spirit for our city, our state, and our national leaders. May your ways rule in the hearts of our leaders. We pray over our schools, teachers, students, and staff. May schools be havens of safety and encouragement, and teachers be strengthened and find delight in their daily tasks. Please give them creativity and divine insights when meeting difficult situations. May the word of God ring out from the churches throughout our valley. We pray for our witness as believers to be a powerful, sweet aroma throughout our valley, and the fame of Jesus reach every corner of our city. And for families across our valley, we ask that you would bind them in a love for one another that comes from you. Strengthen marriage commitments. Pour wisdom into challenging parental decisions. We pray and we thank you for our Grace family. And the blessings that you pour over us. Renew the strength and confidence of those waiting on the Lord for answers to their prayers. You never leave us or forsake us. So as always, we thank you for your presence with us. We pray this in the name of our beautiful Savior, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. My pleasure this morning to welcome you to worship this morning. And you may notice that we have a little different order of worship this morning, so the welcome time is coming a little bit earlier. If you are visiting with us this morning, we have a special welcome for you. We're just so thankful that you chose to visit with us this morning. If you'll stop by our welcome center just outside in the garden room after the service, we have a welcome packet for you, and we'd like you to meet some friendly people out there, and they will answer all of your questions that you might have about Grace. In your bulletin or in front of you, you'll find a connect card. So if you will grab that and jot your name down so we know that you're here today, that's great. You can also tell us about the praises that you have, answers to prayer. And you can also put your prayer requests on the back there, and our staff will be praying over those during the week. We'll also get to pray for them as a church if you receive the prayer letter. If you have questions about Grace, you can also put those on there, and you'll get a call back. Hold on to your card because you'll be using it for a couple other things too. Opportunities are coming up to an opportunity to grow in your prayer life. Standing in the gap, praying for another. Carla Cupp is going to do a special teaching on intercessory prayer on October 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. You can come for a light supper and then have the teaching, but we do want to know how many of you would like to attend, so if you would RSVP on your card, that would be great. The youth spent Saturday getting ready for a fundraiser this morning, and they pressed cider all for like 6 hours, I think, yesterday. And this is a fundraiser for kids to go to Gormley Camp. And it was so successful, they sold out. But if you would still like to donate to them to help a kid go to camp, I think the first camp is at the end of October. Allie is going to be out at the coffee stand, and she will take donations. Trunk or Treat. October 30th, Wednesday, from 6 to 8, is going to be a fun time for our community. So the children's department and the youth have joined together, and they have this great time of planning Trunk or Treat. But we can help. They need lots of candy. And if you're so inclined, you could decorate your car and be part of the Trunk or Treat. Might be a fun thing for a small group to do together, I think. You can come for dinner. They're having dinner, even, and games and treats. And there's even a prize for the most spectacularly decorated car. This morning, Melissa's going to come up and tell us about an absolutely wonderful surprise that she has for you for December.
Good morning. It's getting to be my favorite time of the year. I am so excited to share with you about this wonderful opportunity that our church has to celebrate with a Christmas pageant. And Doug Cairns has written a beautiful, beautiful Christmas program that we are so excited to share.
Oh my, I don't know if I can do this Joseph thing again.
Uh-oh. John, is that you?
Yep.
Oh.
Trying the costume on again.
Okay. Can I help you up here?
Oh.
Pastor Bill, do you want to maybe help from the back?
I hope you appreciate what I'm doing for you.
There we
you
go.
Got my back. Well, I think it's 50 years I've been doing this as Joseph, and I'm tired.
You're tired.
I'm just tired. And Mary, well, she can't carry a baby and walk with her walker, so here.
Oh, gosh. Let me take that from you.
So,
I'll hold on to the baby.
So we need multi-generational. We need people to help out with costumes, and we need people. Oh, we need sheep, and we need Mary and a Joseph, and did I say sheep?
Without a walker? A Mary,
Mary without a walker.
Okay.
And sheep. Did I say sheep?
Maybe.
Well, it's so hard for those that they're crawling around them to get back up on their feet, and it's really bad. So we need all sorts of, we need singers. We need wise men. Is there anybody wise out there?
I think there are a few people
yeah.
out there.
So we need lots of people. And I think...
John.
What?
It might be time to retire the Joseph costume. Can I take that from you? Look at that. You know, I think There have been people waiting for this opportunity of a lifetime to play Mary and Joseph in our Christmas pageant. So if you'd be willing to give up the costume, I'd be happy to pass it to someone else.
Right now?
Well, we can do it after. Okay. After would be fine. You can keep it on right
okay.
now. So in your bulletin this morning, we have a little flyer with all kinds of information about all the different areas that we are really looking for people to serve. And we need people of all ages. So this isn't something that's just for the children this year, but it's all the way up for anyone interested. We are looking for singers of all ages and actors. And we need wise men, like John was saying. And we need travelers and
singers.
We do need singers. And I don't know about you, but they don't want me to be one of them. So we need people.
You make a joyful noise to the Lord.
I make a noise,
yes.
But I don't know. Yeah. So there are lots of opportunities to serve. We have someone building the set who needs help. Might be someone I'm married to that's looking for extra help with that. So he would love extra help with building the set, and we also need your prayer for this event because we want it to really be a blessing to our congregation, like I said. So if you would prayerfully think about this, and you can return this, there's a spot for your name and email, and you can take this out to the Welcome Center, and they will connect you with either myself or Doug or the right person to help you prepare. So thank you so much, and we are going to carry on with worship. Thank you.
You could use your Connect card also if you'd like to be part of that. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of what's going on here at Grace. So you can check online if you want to know everything else. If you're new with us, that's a great way to know what's going on at Grace. You can go online and check, or there's a wonderful magazine, Grace Alive. We do have so much to be thankful for. So let's stand, if you're able, and let's sing together our hymn of thanksgiving.
Before you have a seat, would you turn to those around you and just give them a great big blessing in the name of Christ? Be seated. You know, I have to say, we've filled out up here, haven't we? Yeah. That's awesome. Welcome back, sir. Good to see you. How many of you were here last Sunday? Oh, and you came back. Okay, good. So I shared with you about this concept of hilarious generosity. And I talked about the time my wife and I recently were at Disneyland with our granddaughters, and we went on Thunder Mountain with Berkeley. She sat between us and she was just laughing hysterically. You will not believe it. Got home last Sunday afternoon. Our kids have a season pass, so they go to Disneyland all the time. They had been at Disneyland that Sunday, not knowing what I had said the previous Sunday, and they sent me a video of our son-in-law Brian with Berkeley on Thunder Mountain. So, of course. I know you think you probably have the cutest granddaughter. I think I do. We're continuing on in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, going down to verse 10 through 15. We're still talking about what it means to have this grace of giving, to have a life of generosity, that it's not about money. It's not about the tithe. It's not about 10%. It's about all that we have being given to the Lord. So listen to Paul's words again to the church in Corinth and to us. He begins in verse 10 and says, "And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack." Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you that you give us exactly what we need. Lord, that you are our provider. Lord, that you have entrusted with us everything that we have in our life, in our relationships, in our careers, even in our recreation. It all comes from you. And so, Lord, may our lives be a reflection of gratitude and thanksgiving back to you with all that we have, heart, soul, mind, and body. Continue to speak to us. Continue to remind us of who we are in Christ. For it's in his name I pray and give you the glory. Amen. So I'm kind of doing a retro thing. When I was here long time ago, I would preach occasionally and I would give you three truths. So I'm going to give you three truths this morning, and hopefully you haven't filled in the blanks already, because the first one is this: it is more blessed to give than to... No. You might pay attention as we go forward. It is more blessed to give than to not give. It is more blessed to give than to withhold, to keep everything to ourselves, to be self-centered and selfish. It's more blessed that to give. Now, we know that Paul in Acts 20 ascribes the other phrase to Jesus: it is more blessed to give than to receive. Well, I have to tell you, I love receiving. It is a blessing to receive gifts. In fact, I think I have the spiritual gift of receiving gifts. My love language is receiving gifts. It's not that I can't give gifts. It's just I feel more complete, more full, more in tune with God's purpose for my life when I'm receiving gifts. I'm just saying. Anybody that ring a bell? Anybody else familiar? Okay. All right. Just so you know who the gift receivers are. But that's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is not even saying what Jesus said. In a sense, he's saying there is great blessing to be had when you give, as opposed to when you withhold. Look at what he said in verses 10 and 11. In this manner, I give my judgment, his opinion, his advice. Remember, he's not commanding. He's not lording it over them. He says, this benefits you. The this he's talking about is the contribution that they started to do a year ago of helping relieve the Christians in Jerusalem. He says, this benefits you who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. You know, again, Paul is referring to the contribution that they have committed to give above and beyond what is called the tithe in the Old Testament, to give of their offerings to relieve the suffering of the saints in Jerusalem. And so Paul says, on this matter, let me advise you. This is my judgment. This is my opinion. I'm not commanding you to do this. But you know what? There is something that goes on in the spiritual realm when you give and when you follow through on that commitment. There are blessings that you will receive. It's not that you'll be punished if you don't give. Paul's not saying it's not as if God will come against you if you don't give, but you're really going to miss out by withholding. So here's where I've come to think about it for myself. The tithe, and I didn't talk about it last week, but the tithe, that 10% in the Old Testament, it was about giving of your first fruits back to God, back to the temple, for His ministry, for His kingdom, for His purpose. It was about taking all that we have and taking 10%. It's kind of like automatically deducting it from your paycheck. Without thinking about everything else, God, here is that 10%. I give it to you. So that, back in the Old Testament, that was the tithe. It's not to benefit the church. It's not to benefit even God. He doesn't need our money. But when we do that, there is a great freedom and a great release that we know God is well pleased with how we're using what He has given to us. It's kind of like the Sabbath. Jesus says, you were not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for you. You see, God, so wise and brilliant as our Creator, didn't create us as robots and say, now, every Sunday, you better go to church. Now, He said, no, the Sabbath, you weren't made to just be obedient to the Sabbath. I'm giving you the Sabbath as a gift. See, God knew the weight of the world that we would have and how taxing our life would become, that we needed a day to come before God with other believers to restore and refresh our soul even as we worship God. So he said that's a gift. The same thing is with the tithe. Paul isn't saying you better give your tithe. You better follow through on your commitment or else God is going to rain down lightning upon you. No, it's more of a sense of, you know what? God knows how caught up in the world you get. God knows how anxious you get over money. God knows that you can get selfish and greedy. And so he just says, hey, of everything I've given you, just give me a little bit back. Trust me, it'll do you some good. So God is really thinking about us. Not himself, not the church. He's talking about us. Now, the other dilemma, though, that a lot of people face, and somebody asked this after last Sunday, is, okay, so I just automatically give 10% to God. Do I give that to the church? That's an age-old dilemma. Do I give 10% to the church, or do I give a little here, a little there, a little here? Do I spread the wealth everywhere? Okay, like Paul, I'm going to give you my 2 cents worth. This is not something to say you have to do it this way. You may not agree with me, and that's fine. There's no condemnation here. But this is what I've learned. This is what I've come to experience, is Debbie and I have this phrase we're using now, that our bandwidth is full. That we're trying to... I'll even bring it... current. Yesterday, we're trying to figure out, do we upgrade to an iPhone 11 or keep our iPhone 8? We have spent months wondering about what to do about that. So yesterday we said, you know what? It's taking up too much space in our head. Let's just make a decision. Okay, at the count of three, tell me what... No. And we said, let's upgrade. So we upgraded. And I have the iPhone 11 now. I have no idea why, but we just did it. There are decisions that we have to make sometimes that overwhelm us with everything else going on, that our bandwidth gets full. And we get to this time where, you've probably been to fundraisers already. You've probably been having people asking you to give to their ministry or their organization. And you're thinking, well, now Bill's up there talking about the church. And God doesn't want this to be complicated. And so make a decision up front. Don't waffle about it. You go, okay, 10% God, I'm giving to you, to the church. That's my tithe. I'm just going to do that. Whew. It's not about the 10%. It's about the 90%. It's about now, God, I've made that decision. I don't have to wrestle every year and try to figure out where I want to give my money. I've already given it to you, to the church. I trust you with that. But now there's the 90% that's left over. I got to pay my bills. I got to do this and that. But God, how else do you want me to live my life? Does that make sense? So it's not wrestling about 10%. If you're not at 10%, if you're not giving, give 2%. Maybe test God a little bit and bump it up to 3%. It's not legalistic. It's not to be a burden. It's not to be an albatross around our neck that I've got to give a tithe. But what Paul says here, it's better to give something. It's better to start contributing to God, to his church, to his kingdom, than to withhold and keep being burdened and feeling guilty that you're not doing anything. Second point, I think, yes. Another truth. Let's see how well you do here. The person who dies with the most toys, you've got to realize that I'm not doing the normal one, but that's what we think. He who dies with the most toys wins, right? No. He who dies with the most toys still dies. You can't take it with you, right? No matter how much you accumulate, we know we have to leave it all behind, and those who are left have to deal with the mess. They're the ones that now have to figure out, do we sell it? Do we keep it? Do we give it to the grandchildren? Do we take it to Goodwill? Do we throw it away? Talk about bandwidth. He who dies with the most toys still dies. Verse 12, Paul says, if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. We're to take inventory of what God has given to us. If He has blessed you and given you lots of stuff, then you take an inventory and say, okay, God, how can I use what I have for you? If you don't have as much as the person next to you, you don't have to be a martyr and try to give as much as they're giving. You don't want this vicious cycle going around where you're giving out of what you don't have in order then somebody else who does not have is able to have more, and then they have to give to you because now you're going without and you're in need. He says that's not the way that it's supposed to go in that way. If God blesses you and you're wealthy, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with buying toys. But just keep in mind, the more you have, the more you're responsible for. So maybe accumulating a lot in this world is not the point. Because the more you have, the more is to be available for God to use however He wants to use them. The Lord gives, but the Lord can take away. So he who dies with the most toys doesn't always win. Paul says and makes it clear in verses 13 and 14, "For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness." So we give according to what we have, not what we don't have. We give in order to be obedient to God. And sometimes, like the widow we talked about last week, it means putting in our last penny and trusting that God will still provide for us. You see, it's not about how much we give. It's not about giving 10% or being responsible with the 90%, but it's trusting that God knows exactly what you need day in and day out. Listen to what Paul said in verse 15. "As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack." Paul is referring to God's provision for the Israelites when they were in the wilderness, and He gave them manna from heaven on a daily basis, and that lasted only for a day. He knew exactly how much they needed, and He said, don't gather more than you need. Jesus reminds us of that in Matthew 6 when He says, "Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all also. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." You know, Paul, last week we saw at the beginning of chapter 8 here, he's kind of talking about the Macedonians and how even out of their poverty, they were able to give joyfully and abundantly and generously. But he also made it very clear that they first sought the Lord and then did according to His will. So when it comes to giving in any regard, whether it's something that we come upon tomorrow morning and somebody is in need, or it's making a decision about how much we are to give to the church and where should we help others as well, it needs to be not about us, not about money, not about giving, but a relationship with God. That we realize first and foremost that God didn't give 10%. He gave everything to us in His Son Jesus. That Jesus didn't just give 10% of Him on the cross. He gave His whole being. And so God just says, I want all of you, heart, soul, mind, and body. It's not about your money. He really could care less about your money. It's about a relationship. And it's about us giving out of what God has already given to us. And so seek first the kingdom of God and trust Him with everything else. And that brings me to the final point. Actions speak louder than words. You would think you would get it by now. No. Oh, good. Actions speak louder than good intentions. Ah. Just curious, how many of you filled in the blanks before we started? Because I hope it was in pencil. Actions speak louder. You ever had good intentions? Ever said, well, I'm going to do this? Ever get to the beginning of the year and say, I'm going to commit myself to the gym, and you go 2 days and that's it? We all have good intentions. One Sunday morning, a pastor in a congregation of church told his congregation to consider the potential of the church. He told them, with God's help, we can see the day when this church will go from crawling to walking. The people responded, let the church walk, Lord, let the church walk. He continued, and when the church begins to walk next, the church can begin to run. And the people responded, let the church run, Lord, let the church run. The pastor continued, and finally the church can move from running to flying. Oh, the pastor said, the church can fly, but of course it's going to take a lot of money for that to happen. And just like now, there was a quiet. But from the back of the choir loft, someone mumbled, let the church crawl, Lord, let the church crawl. I'm sorry, I just had to pick on you. You know, Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We all have desires, we all have good intentions. So the Apostle Paul is saying, finish what you started. Again, not saying, you know, if you don't, God's going to punish you or lightning is going to strike you. But doesn't it feel better to have finished something? Doesn't it feel good when you complete that 1,000-piece puzzle? Doesn't it feel good when you finally run a 10K or a marathon and you finished it? It doesn't feel good when you finish running a marathon? My mother-in-law forwarded an email to me. It was from a friend of hers who, I don't know if she's from South Africa or not, but there's a gas station in South Africa that puts out a chalkboard, and it's got a petrol pump wisdom written for it on every day. And people actually drive from all over just to see what the wisdom is for the day. Some are humorous. Some are really relevant and truthful. And so I've got a few for you here this morning. If you had to choose between drinking wine every day or being skinny, which would you choose? You got that one, right? I had to start with that one. Be who you needed when you were younger. Don't do something permanently stupid because you're temporarily upset. Somebody's really relating to the when you forgive, you heal. When you let go, you grow. Forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future. And this one, which is apropos for what Paul is emphasizing, when you make a commitment, you build hope. When you keep it, you build trust. Isn't trust the one thing that is hard to rebuild? When I would do premarital counseling with couples, I would ask them, what is it that could ruin a marriage? You know, they gave all the typical usual answers, but there was really the symptoms. Because whether it was cheating on a spouse or it was spending money on a credit card when they made the commitment they wouldn't do that anymore, what has happened is that lack of trust is there now, and it's going to be hard to rebuild. So when we give ourselves to God completely and fully, God wants us to finish the race well. If we make a commitment in a marriage, God says, finish well. If we make a commitment to make a phone call to somebody, and a week goes by and we haven't called them, that guilt starts to nag at us. And another week goes by and we still haven't called them, and that guilt is getting heavier and heavier. And eventually what happens? I'm not going to call now. It's too awkward. And you know what? Maybe I'm just going to avoid being where that person is because it's just going to bring it all back up to me. And so we withdraw. You know, maybe we made a commitment to somebody to help them through a particular problem, and then we never followed through. The guilt, the shame, the awkwardness that weighs us down, that's what Paul is trying to address. He says, don't be in that condition. You started something, finish it now. Because there is great joy in finishing what we said we were going to do at the beginning. There is great joy in a sense of completeness, and a sense of perfection when we've given it all. So this morning, what I want us to do is just take a little moment, just to pause and to be still. Come before the Lord. Let Him talk to you. Is there anything in your life, any unfinished business in your life that's just weighing you down? Paul says, leave it here. But then go and do something about it. Is there any desire, something within you that you said, you know, I've been meaning to go visit that person. I've been meaning to sign up and be a part of the Christmas. I've been meaning to help out with our youth. And it just sits there and it nags at you. And Paul says, then act on it. Do something. But I want you to be clear. It's not about what God wants us to do. It's who He wants us to be. Paul isn't saying, hey, if you're a good Christian, this is what you'll do. Paul isn't telling the Corinthians, hey, if you're a good Christian, well, then you'll finish what you committed to. No, he's saying, if you want to make a stand for God, if you want to commit your life to Him, then finish the work that you've begun. Because that says to God, I trust that you will take care of me in this process. And as you commit yourself to God, as you give of all that you have to God, God delights in that. Because He says, I've entrusted you with all these things. Well done, good and faithful servant. So would you take time in just some silence, and then I'll close us in prayer as we continue on in worship. But just ask God, are there things that He wants you to do that you keep putting off? Is there something you've started and you haven't finished and it's just weighing on you? Just give it to Him and ask Him what to do next. Father God, would You speak to us now? Would You help us to understand who we are in Christ? Lord, we want to be doers of the Word, not just hearers of the Word. But Father, it's not about the doing. It's about that relationship. It's about hearing from Your Word and allowing Your Spirit to soften our hearts to such a point that we are in rhythm with what You've called us to do. So Lord, would You do that now for us? Help us to find that rhythm to be obedient in the things that You want us to do. And now, Lord, I pray that You would just take that yoke, that burden off of anybody here who's been weighed down by their season of life right now, taking it upon their own shoulders, and give them what they need, Father, to live the life that You've called them to live, filled with joy, filled with abundance, blessings overflowing to others, Lord. And Father, wherever You have stirred within them something that You're calling them to step out on faith to do, whether it's giving of their finances, their time, their talents, just themselves, Lord, would You give them what they need to take that step? For we praise You, we love You, because You first loved us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you, choir. That's like putting a bow on the whole day, you know? Because that's what it's about. It's about asking God to just create in us a new heart, a generous heart, a giving heart, a loving heart, a forgiving heart, whatever it is that we need this morning. As the ushers come forward at this time, you do have an opportunity to respond with thanksgiving, and however you want to give, it's between you and God. But let us pray and ask God to use what we do give to Him for His glory. Let's pray. Almighty God, we give back to You just a portion of what You have given to us. And Lord, You give to us far and beyond and above what we could ever possibly imagine. Lord, You meet us in ways that we are surprised, we are shocked. We look back and we can see Your hand in so many ways and so many things, and are grateful that You never leave us. You never abandon us. You never forsake us. So Lord, help us to remain steadfast and true to You as we give now of these offerings that we give of our heart, soul, and mind, body to You, Lord. We give everything to You for Your glory, for Your kingdom, and for Your purpose. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. that's like the cherry on top after all. Oh, what a glorious day. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he turn his countenance toward you now and give you peace, overflowing, abundant, and joyfully. In his name I pray. Amen. Go in peace.